Darkness is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite.
Delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media
and the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be his ambassadors, even in this dark moment. Let's not miss our moment.
And now, the Hamilton Corner.
And this is your host tonight, Bishop E.W. Jackson. Great to be with you folks. Sitting in for the inimitable Abraham Hamilton III. And it's a pleasure and honor to do so. Merry Christmas, everybody. Hope that all of you are into the season. And again, I know there's a lot that goes on during Christmas, but I think we've got to really stay focused on what the meaning of the season is, which is the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, we can really get so caught up in the materialism of the season and under such pressure to spend money that we don't have, to go into debt and just deal with all kinds of stuff that's not really going to be helpful to anybody in the end, because it really misses the whole point. Relax. Take it easy. Enjoy yourself. Do what you can. Do what's comfortable. You know, in fact, my son and my daughter-in-law were telling me they just stopped giving gifts during Christmas. They said because it just gets all caught up in that rather than in the true meaning for the season. Well, I have to admit, I haven't gone quite that far yet, but I understand the spirit of it. Because it's a way of sort of divorcing yourself from all the hustle and the bustle that comes with it and really centering on the true meaning of what Christmas is all about. So however you choose to deal with it, do so. I just want you to enjoy the time and have it be a time of rest and reflection rather than a time of pressure and stress and you know, just a whole lot of trouble. Rather than, you know, just a lot of enjoyment and a lot of spiritual satisfaction. Remember the story of Mary and Martha when Jesus had his whole entourage there, and Martha was responsible for, well, actually both of them responsible for hosting, and they were in the process of preparing a meal, but Mary got caught up in what Jesus was saying. And was sitting at his feet, just basking in what Jesus was saying, just drinking it in. And Martha was busy trying to figure out how in the world am I going to take care of all these people? I got to fix food for all these people. And look at Mary. She's sitting there acting like she doesn't have a care in the world. And Martha complained and said, you know, make Mary get up. I'm paraphrasing, but, you know, make Mary get up and help me. And Jesus said, Martha, Martha. You are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that better part, and it shall not be taken away from her. So let's choose that better part, shall we? Because Jesus won't take that away from us. And, you know, the rest of it, it'll take care of itself. You know, faith without works is dead. That's true. There's some things we have to do. But I'll tell you something. The corollary is, works without faith will make you dead. In other words, you'll kill yourself trying to keep up with all the stuff that we're expected to keep up with, rather than taking time to just rest in the presence of God. You know, Jesus said, one of my favorite passages at the end of Mark chapter and Matthew chapter 11, where Jesus says, come to me all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And I'm teaching a series right now on Christmas, and I'm talking, well, actually finished it up now, just a two-part series talking about the season of the supernatural. And I basically just walked through all of the supernatural manifestations that God did in order to bring about the result he wanted. You know, people have been waiting for the Messiah for thousands of years. from the time of Genesis 3:15, where God says to the serpent, your seed shall bruise the woman's heel, but her seed shall bruise your head. In other words, the seed of the woman would destroy the serpent. The serpent would bruise him, and Jesus was bruised on the cross. He was bruised for our iniquities. But he put his heel on the serpent and stomped him. He basically annihilated him. He's done. It's all over, except for the casting into hell and the lake of fire. It's all over. Well, that was a prophecy of the coming of the Messiah, the first prophecy of the coming of the Messiah, the prophetic word that God gave when he told the serpent what was going to happen to him. And it would be the seed of a woman. Well, women don't have any seed, do they? Men have the seed. But this would be a very special man, because he would not be born of the seed of a man. He would be born of the seed of the word of the living God, which lives and abides forever. So God had a virgin have a baby. God sent an angel to speak to Zacharias. God sent an angel to speak to Mary. God sent angels to speak to the shepherds. God spoke to Anna, the prophetess. God spoke to Simeon, the prophet. God spoke to Joseph in a dream. God had a star lead the wise men all the way from somewhere in the east, probably Persia or somewhere in that area, 800 to 1,000 miles across the known world to witness the coming of a king. So, look, when God is ready to do something in our lives, when the moment has come that what God foreordained for you, all the devils in hell can't stop it. Herod, in the slaughter of the innocents, tried to kill every child 2 years old and under, but he couldn't stop it. And so, yeah, the devil can rise up in rage and do everything in his power to try to stop you. But when God is ready for what he has in store for you to be fulfilled, nothing can stop it. And God will move heaven, and he will supersede all natural order and law in order to get it done. You know, stars don't lead people around. Stars don't do that. But this star did. And so when God is ready, it's coming to pass. So you just, you know, this is the season for the supernatural. Expect wonderful things from God. You know, we ought to have our necks stretched out in white hot expectation of good things from the Lord, because that's what he wants to do for us. You know, Jeremiah 33:3 says, call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. And Ephesians 3:20 says, he is able to do the exceedingly abundant above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. That's what God's desire is for us, the exceedingly abundant things that we don't even know. And that's what he did that first Christmas season. He did the exceedingly abundant. He had a plan for the redemption of mankind, which he ordained before the foundation of the world. And after thousands of years, the first earthly tangible step was made to fulfill that plan, the birth of the Christ child. Mary's baby, meek and humble lamb, the lily of the valley, the great I am. Well, look, I am, as you can see, in the Christmas spirit, and I trust that all of you are too. There's some news that I do want to cover today, though. We have some good news. It just broke just a couple of hours ago. The president is planning to create a golden fleet of American warships. And I'll tell you, I love this idea because, folks, I've been terribly concerned over the last, decade or so, that China was outstripping us on the high seas, that China was just battleships left and right and would be in a position to completely dominate us on the high seas. And I wondered, would President Trump or any other president seek to do what only Americans can do, which is to just absolutely leave our adversaries in the dust when it comes to outbuilding and out creating and out inventing anybody? Nobody does it better than Americans. Nobody. When we have the right leadership and we put our minds to it and we put our hands to the plow, just forget it. We found that out in World War II. The world found that out in World War II when our naval fleet was practically destroyed. I forget the exact time, but it was in about 6 months. It had been rebuilt. In about 6 months, we were ready to go. Americans don't play. That Judeo-Christian ethic of faith in God, hard work, commitment, determination, relentlessness, it is a combination that no one can beat. No one. And again, as I put, faith in God in the forefront of it. On D-Day, whatever one may say about Franklin Delano Roosevelt, and there's lots of negative things we could say about him, but on D-Day, as our troops were landing in Normandy, he was on the radio praying across the nation, his voice heard in prayer before God to be with our troops. I'm not saying, I don't know exactly what that says about Franklin Delano Roosevelt, but I can tell you what it says about America. It says about America that we are people of faith and that we will not be cowed and we will not be subjugated and we will not be forced to bow to anyone. Not Adolf Hitler, not Ho Chi Minh, not Mao Zedong, not Xi Jinping, not Vladimir Putin. Nobody. We bow to no one but God. No king but Jesus, no sovereign but God. And so this is what I continually say about President Trump. You know, we can certainly quibble with some of the things he says and some of the ways he says them. But I'll tell you, his policies, I don't believe that you could have 100%, at least I probably couldn't, because I have some very specific ideas about things that ought to be done. And you know, I don't think I'm going to agree 100% with any president. But I'll tell you what, President Trump probably comes about as close as any president there's ever been. I mean, in fact, when I ran, there were things I was saying. I talked about, I really believe that I was the first person to talk about, even though the press didn't talk or didn't amplify what I had to say about it. But I think I was the first candidate to talk about mass deportation, that it was going to be an absolute necessity in order to try to undo the terrible damage done by the Biden administration. And President Trump comes up and says, yeah, we're going to mass deport people. We're getting people out of here. Apparently, we've had 2 million who have self-deported. Because the president has made clear, we are going to find you and we're going to get you out. We're dealing with the criminals right now, and people don't like the fact that we might be sweeping up other people. But we ought to sweep up everybody who is here illegally. If you're here illegally, you've got to go. So now the president is doing something else that I always had in the back of my mind. We've got to rebuild our naval fleet so that we are the most dominant force on the high seas. This is E.W. Jackson, in for Abraham Hamilton III. Stand by, coming back in just a moment.
light into the darkness. This is the
Let Me Know When It's Hot
on American Family Radio.
Well, we're back, folks. Look, it's the Christmas season, and you know, of all seasons, we certainly want to be gracious, right? Of course. But I'll tell you what, there's never a moment when we can be less than vigilant about the safety and security of our country. It's just that plain and simple. This is Christmas week, and the president is announcing a golden fleet of ships that are about to be built. And he's talking about the quality of these ships and talking about the overruns that have happened. In fact, I think he mentioned the Gerald Ford aircraft carrier. I believe it's an aircraft carrier. And he talked about the cost overruns that just absolutely plagued that project. So this president is a builder, and I really believe that he is going to be meticulous about making sure that these vessels cost what they cost, and that the American people aren't being gouged and taken advantage of, you know, with $1,000 toilets and all this kind of nonsense that we've heard about in the past. But, you know, it was George Washington, my favorite American figure, who said, to be prepared for war is one of the most effective means of preserving peace. I believe that with all my heart. Folks, thank God I have never seen combat. I thought I was going to because I joined the Marine Corps in 1970 thinking I was going to Vietnam. And I did voluntarily join. And I thought that I was going to see combat. We were certainly trained for it and prepared for it. In fact, the radar I was trained to work on was a bomb-dropping radar that was intended to be used in the bush to help airplanes fly above any ground-to-air mortars or missiles that might be launched against them. But I never saw a day of combat. But I know people who did. And I tell you, it's no joke. It's no joke. And I think anybody who makes light of sending people potentially to their death, sending them to fight and potentially die for our country, anybody who makes light of that is a fool. However, that's what is needed in an evil and sin-sick world. It's unavoidable. We don't make light of it, but we can't pretend it's not necessary at times. And so if we want to really live in peace, we've got to understand that there are evil forces out there who would love to subjugate us, love to use us, love to destroy us, and we've got to be prepared to stop them with force if necessary. And I appreciate that about President Trump, that I think he understands that on a visceral level. And so he's taking steps to do something that I've thought needs to be done, has needed to be done for a long, long time, which is reassert American naval dominance in the world, because I think that in many ways we have lost that dominance to communist China, so that we can meet them, and they know they're going to meet the most effective naval fleet ever known to mankind. And that's the way we should be seen as a country, the most effective, the most powerful naval fleet ever known in the history of mankind. So they understand, you mess with Americans, you force them to fight, you're going to regret you ever did. So God bless you, President Trump, for taking steps to do something that I believe has needed to be done for a long, long time. I think things like testing our nuclear arsenal, that's something that needs to be done. God forbid that we would ever have to use it. I mean, again, Lord knows. I mean, these are weapons of mass destruction, weapons of annihilation. These are genocidal weapons, but our enemies have them. And we've got to make sure that, God forbid, in the event of a nuclear confrontation, they understand they will be facing a nation whose nuclear arsenal is second to none, with the effectiveness and the accuracy of it is second to none. So, even during Christmas, these are things that we have to be aware of and just have to deal with. I'm going to be taking your calls after the next segment, and I'd love to have you weigh on in on this. Now, let me come back to something that I happened to mention earlier today, because I'll be on again tomorrow with Jen, substitute hosting for Jenna Ellis, and I'll be on again tomorrow night substituting for Abe. But I mentioned this morning. I want to come back to it. You know, AmeriFest is happening. Turning Point USA is the largest they've ever had. 30,000 people showed up. I couldn't do it. My schedule simply would not allow me to be there. But I have nothing but admiration for the life and work of Charlie Kirk and those who are carrying it on. I would sound a couple of notes of caution, however, today. Earlier today, I mentioned I thought J.D. Vance's speech, well, I had a lot of good stuff in it. Boy, it sure did sound to me like a presidential speech, like a campaign speech. And I just thought, man, it's just too early for that. I mean, we've got 3 years to go in the Trump administration, and we can only have one president. Let's kind of lighten up on the campaign speeches. And I did feel like a lot of that was kind of a campaign speech. But the other thing is, I just think it's too early to be making these kinds of choices. And with all due respect to Erica Kirk, I don't think we should be endorsing anybody at this stage of the game, because there are a number of good candidates out there. And frankly, we need a chance to get to know them. You know, we're just getting to know J.D. Vance. And we're now got a chance to get to know Marco Rubio in a more mature way than we ever had before, because I think Marco Rubio is coming into his own. My good friend, Ted Cruz, I think that he still has presidential aspirations. He may throw his hat into the ring. And then Ron DeSantis is another one that people think has a real future, that the White House is in that future. So let's not rush. And by the way, I'm not endorsing any of the people I've mentioned. And maybe who knows? There may be somebody else waiting in the wings I haven't even thought about. But I'm not endorsing anybody at this stage. I'm waiting to see how this all unfolds and waiting for the leading of the Lord. But I just think it's a little bit too early to be coronating J.D. Vance or anybody else. The second thing I would say about this whole thing is, you know, there are two organizations, well, really three, there's Turning Point Action, but there's also Turning Point Faith. Haven't heard a lot about Turning Point Faith since the death of Charlie Kirk. But Turning Point Faith is sort of their faith arm. And I guess they're primarily working with pastors. I would say that there's a little bit of focusing that's going to need to be done, because this woman that they had as a big guest, Nicki Minaj, the rapper. And I don't know who Nicki Minaj is, to be very honest, folks. I mean, I know who she is in terms that she's an entertainer, and I know she's a rapper or singer or something like that. I've never heard a lick of her music. I wouldn't know it if I heard it. And without seeing her on television, I wouldn't know her if I ran into her. But, you know, I decided, since she played such a prominent role, or at least was prominently featured, I don't know that she played a big role, but she was prominently featured at Turning Point USA. I thought I'd look her up, see what she's about. She is, of course, she may be the top female rapper of the entire entertainment history of rap, and one of the top entertainers in the industry today. But she's apparently a very nasty woman. Now, I don't mean nasty in terms of mean, but her rap is apparently filled with profanity and sexuality, and she even does some gangster rapping. And, you know, when I saw that, I thought, didn't we just kind of go through this? Aren't we kind of this right now with Candace Owens and even Tucker Carlson to some extent? In other words, you know, we elevate these people and they have celebrity status. And then one day you turn around and they've kind of gone off the rails. The reason I said there's a little bit of focusing that needs to happen is, if Turning Point USA is going to be an organization of faith, right, and we're going to emphasize our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and God bless them for doing so, I don't think Nicki Minaj is somebody that you want to be elevating. And not based upon everything I've learned in the brief time. I did some research on her, and, ooh, boy, I'll tell you. Ooh, yeah, I mean, it's not the kind of stuff you want your young, anybody for that matter, adults either, but certainly it's not the kind of stuff you want young people to be exposed to. And people like me, for example, and probably a lot of young people maybe raised in Christian homes or in Christian environments, I could be naive about this because, you know, maybe they're seeing and hearing this stuff because of their age and what's circulating in their circles and all of that. But I have to believe there are some people raised in a Christian environment who never heard of her, but they have now. And probably never listened to her music. Who knows? They may now. And would wonder, why in the world is she on stage at Turning Point USA? Oh, my God. Goodness gracious, folks. I mean, ooh, yeah, there are some rappers who sort of are inspirational rappers, you know what I mean? And they're obviously there's some Christian rappers, and I love that. I mean, I love it. That they're reaching young people with a clear, uncompromising message of the Lordship of Jesus Christ and the importance of salvation. In other words, they're using rap to proclaim the gospel. Praise God for them. I have no problem with that whatsoever. I know some people do. I don't. If the message is crystal clear, then to me, the style of the music, and I know there's some prominent people who have disagreed with me on this, but to me, the style of the music is irrelevant because if the message is absolutely unequivocally clear, it's that word is going to get into the hearts of folks and they're going to be people saved because the message is just crystal clear. The trumpet is giving a certain sound and people can prepare for the battle. But that's not what Nicki Minaj is doing, let me tell you. Not even inspiration. It's really ugly stuff from a Christian perspective. So I just thought that's a couple of notes that were hit. And, you know, we're in that aftermath of you know, Charlie Kirk's assassination. And I realize people are reluctant to look critically at almost anything associated with him. But I don't think we should ever turn off our sense of discernment, right? We should always be looking with some discernment. And again, I am not in any way debunking or devaluing or diminishing the work of Turning Point USA. I think it is magnificent. I really do. But I think, again, young people, a lot of stuff going on, a lot of accolades, a lot of fame, a lot of influence. And, you know, even some of the biggest celebrities want to be in your orbit because so many people are paying attention to you right now. But that doesn't necessarily mean it's the healthiest thing to do. You know, Billy Graham used to do this quite effectively. But my understanding is that Billy Graham, when I say do this effectively, I mean Billy Graham would get celebrities and he would bring them on stage and use that to help attract a crowd. But my understanding is Billy Graham would get Christians, Christian baseball players, Christian football players, Christian basketball players. He would bring them out to give their testimony, not just, well, this person's a celebrity and therefore I'm going to bring them out to attract people and that person is just as lost as a duck in a hailstorm. The other danger of this is that somebody like this, who's just been put up on stage in the midst of people talking about Christianity and America being a Christian nation, and then goes out and does something that is absolutely a shock to the nation. And people say, well, wait a minute. This person was just on the stage at Turning Point USA. what is that all about? And it has a way of casting aspersions on an organization that is really seeking to do good. So just my note of caution there, because again, You know, the Bible warns us against making a novice a bishop, lest they be lifted up with pride and fall into the snare of the devil. Now, this woman, Nicki Minaj, is already a celebrity in her own right. So it's not like, you know, you're giving her some great platform that she didn't have in terms of her renown. But you are giving her a platform to some people that didn't perhaps know about her or certainly weren't following her. I'm one of them. I didn't know about her. I mean, I think I've heard the name. But again, I don't listen to pop music. I listen to gospel music, a little bit of country here and there, you know. But I'm very, very selective on what I let myself listen to. Every now and then I'll go back to some oldie I listened to as a kid just to kind of refresh me. And well, that's what we're listening to then. But I stay away from stuff that is prurient and nasty and filthy and encouraging people to do stuff. I mean, I don't need it. And I just don't, I'm not interested, but because I love hearing about the praises of Jesus. That music never, ever did for me what gospel music does for me, what hymns do for me. So, just a little note of caution there. And of course, somebody will say, well, you know, who is he to be giving advice to people who are attracting 30,000 people to a stadium? Yeah, well, you know, there might have been 30,000 listening to Jesus at one point, but when it came time for his crucifixion, it was a different kind of crowd, wasn't it? So the crowd is really not the be all and end all. Listen, this is E.W. Jackson. This is E.W. Jackson. I am in for Abraham Hamilton III here on the Hamilton Corner. Great to be with you. Stand by. I'll be taking your calls when we come back. The number is 888-589-8840. Back in a moment.
Hamilton Corner podcast and 1 minute commentaries are available at AFR.net. Back to the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
This is Bishop E.W. Jackson in for Abraham Hamilton III. Great to be with you. The number is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. I'm taking your calls. Anything you want to talk about is fine. It can be subjects I've raised. It can be something else. By the way, I'm watching my news feed. It's a program unfolds. And one headline that just came up is China is in a major missile building operation right now. Just as I was saying earlier, we have got to send a message to the world that while America is a nation that wants peace, we will not be trifled with. And we will not be subjugated, and we will not be second place in anything. And so I am pleased that we are in a ship building move right now, and it's been needed for a long, long time. And I'm glad President Trump is doing it, and I'm glad that he is also testing our nuclear arsenal, something that we've needed to do for a long, long, long time. I don't think we've seen that yet, but I think that is what he's planning to do to make sure that everything is up to snuff, because we have not test-fired any missiles, test-fired our arsenal in a long, long time. And we, you know, mainly for political correctness sake, I'm convinced more than anything else, certainly not for self-defense, certainly not for the safety and security of our nation. We've done it because, you know, well, we don't want to stir up the protesters and people who don't like us and people saying, you know, look at those Americans, they're messing up the environment and all this nonsense. And so, you know, we have bowed to that crowd. And instead of doing what we know we need to do to serve the American people, and the first obligation of government is to provide for the safety and security of our country and our people that we cannot do on our own as individuals, that we need. as our collective representative to do that for us. And that's what they ought to be doing first and foremost. And then frankly, particularly when Democrats have been in charge, it's the last thing they do. It's the least important thing they do. They want to spend money on social welfare, and they want to provide health care to illegal aliens, and they want to do all this other stuff and provide operations to people who want to transition from one gender to another. But when it comes to our national defense and our sovereignty and the security of our borders, that stuff's not important. That's, folks, you want war? That's the way to get there. Convey to the world weakness. Convey to the world fecklessness and fickleness and a lack of will and a lack of determination. And I guarantee you, you're on your way to conflict, because that's exactly how you get there, by convincing people we can pretty much do anything we want to the United States of America and they won't do anything. And before you know it, you're backed into a corner where you've got to do something because your weakness invited that conflict. 888-589-8840 is the number. All right, let's get to your calls. We've got Rob from Mississippi. Rob, welcome to the program.
Brother Jackson, I haven't talked to you in a few years. Merry Christmas, man.
Well, same to you, Rob.
Hey, so I got a few names for, you know, these ships that President Trump wants to build. Are you ready?
Okay. Okay, fire away.
The first one is, I don't think he would mind, but probably the USS Trump. the second one is, in light of his previous celebrity show that he had, USS, quote unquote, you're fired. And then the third one, because I was born in Arizona and was raised there, I would like to see USS Arizona the second.
Ah, well, Rob, listen, I think the first suggestion, thanks for the call, by the way, Rob, I appreciate that. I think the first suggestion he would love. I think the president knows more and influence and impact of that name, and he doesn't mind using it. As a matter of fact, since you said that, let me just get in here quickly. That, you know, he's adding his name to the Kennedy Center. It's going to now be the Donald J. Trump. I don't know whether Kennedy's name will be first, maybe John F. Kennedy and Donald J. Trump Center. And the left is just going crazy. There, we're not going to appear there and this, that, and the other. But you know what? I am glad that he's doing it, because it says that that center belongs to the American people, not to a bunch of leftists. Because for all practical purposes, they might as well called it the Sodomite Center, because the homosexual community had just taken it over. And they're the ones who are most resentful of the president now bringing traditional American entertainment back to it. So good. So yeah, USS Trump, I'm in. You know, I'm in, Rob. Thanks. Let's go to Tim. I believe in Arkansas. Tim, welcome.
Yes, sir. Pastor, are you still a pastor?
I most certainly am.
Hallelujah. All right. Anyway, I was blessed to play music in the clubs for 25 years, and God did it for me so I'd see what it was about. And I lasted about 10 years in the big clubs, and then I just couldn't handle it anymore, so I started doing karaoke shows. And it worked out a whole lot better. I got real singers, but it was still music that I just couldn't mm-hmm. hardly bear to play, Pastor. And, of course, mm-hmm. Nicki Minaj, I can tell you all about her and her songs and her butt implants and her other implants. You know, it's just amazing how they curse. And that's the hardest part of it, is the cursing. And they do it intentionally. In other words, it's an easy way to have control over the younger generation, because it's the bread and circus, Pastor. And the bread and circus is continuing. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
So anything Tim, you can do about it, I sure appreciate.
Well, Tim, thank you so much for the call. And look, she has defended the profanity. She says, you know, in fact, in one interview, they say, well, you know, there's a lot of profanity in your music. And she says, well, you know, You sometimes you need profanity to make the point and kind of laughs, like, you know, that's just part of her music. So once again, you're right. Of course, the word of God says, let no corrupt communication come forth from your mouth. That's the odd thing. That's what I find a little bit, shall we say, incongruous with all the faith talk. And I'm not in any way disputing anybody's authenticity in terms of their faith. I think this is just a matter of wisdom and judgment. And putting somebody like that up on stage, which some people there maybe who have experience of music are thinking, whoa, do they know about the song in which she said bleep, de bleep, de bleep, de bleep, de bleep? And believe me, folks, there are a lot of them. And I mean, really, really. I'm not just talking about throwing out an occasional curse word for effect, you know, or to express anger or to express emphasis. It's still wrong. Don't get me wrong. That's still wrong. I'm talking about some pretty prurient, nasty, really disgusting stuff. So I don't think that was a highlight of the fest. Let me put it that way. All right, let's go to Ed in Texas. Ed, welcome.
Well, thank you, Bishop Jackson. How are you, sir?
I am blessed. How are you, my friend?
Likewise. I just wanted to come on and say, first of all, it is such a pleasure to hear you back on the air. So many times I've been a longtime listener at AFR and of your show when you were here, and I love tuning in and hearing when you come back. So thank you for all that you do.
Thank you.
I also appreciate your service. Obviously, my father was a World War II veteran. My oldest son is now 15 years in the Navy, still serving, and so I appreciate that effort as well.
Well, thank your son for his service, and you come from a great family. That's the wonderful thing about this country, that we keep producing these heroes over and over and over again to meet the time of need for our country. So,
absolutely.
Thank you so much. All right, appreciate your call, Ed. God bless you. Let's go to Susan in Virginia. Susan, welcome. Susan, you there? Oh, Susan. Okay, well, let's hold Susan. Maybe we can get back to Susan. The number is 888-589-8840. And again, folks, I trust that all of you hear this in the spirit in which I'm saying it. I mean, I'm not nitpicking, but you know, my reading of the Old Covenant, particularly where the children of Israel were often felt they would strengthen themselves by entering into an agreement with some idolatrous, godless ally, a king. Jehoshaphat, for example, he went to Azariah, I believe the king was, and he also tried to consort with Ahab. And on both occasions, he was rebuked by God for doing so. The number is 888-589-8840. Let's come back to Susan. Susan, do we have you now?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you just fine. Welcome to the program.
Okay. Thank you. Yes, I agree with what you said about platforming somebody that I don't even know if she is supposed to be a Christian. I also didn't know anything about her, but heard about it. And it's concerning to me because so many churches and the faith out there, it's like they don't read the Bible. They don't know what it says. It's just kind of like feel-good churches, and we're losing our kids because of that. We want to be different than the world. That's the whole point. And Jesus said, we're going to be hated. Well, why are we hated? Because we're supposed to be different. And Charlie Kirk always spoke with anybody, and he didn't care who they were, what their beliefs were, but that's different than using them as a platform. Like you said, Billy Graham didn't do that kind of thing unless he knew they were a believer. And it does concern me as well. I'm so glad you brought that up.
Amen, Susan. Well, thank you. Thank you, dear, for the call. We appreciate that. Look, again, you know, we're not trying to disparage in any way Turning Point USA, but, you know, it's what I've said about, I've said this about a number of people. These are young people. and they have not lived a long time and had an opportunity to really learn wisdom through the Word of God, of course, first and foremost, but through their experiences. And I just don't want to see them get burned by doing something that they consider to be helpful and then have it turn back on them and maybe undermine the great work that they're trying to do. So that's the spirit in which this is said. The number, again, is 888-589-8840. We're almost out of time. I think we can get to Jerry in Louisiana. Jerry, welcome.
Yeah, I'm here.
You're on.
I'm really what conservatives, and I am also disturbed about President Trump making marijuana Schedule 3, and I think this is going to hurt him politically. What do you think?
Well, you know, I'll be very honest, Jerry. I have not given that a great deal of thought, except to say, and this is general. Thank you for the call, too, Jerry. Appreciate you. Boy, there are a lot of factors involved in this. And I say I haven't given it a lot of thought. I haven't had time to really sit down and think this through because marijuana today is different than it used to be 20, 30, 40 years ago. Because now it's laced with all kinds of stuff and it's enhanced and it can be hallucinogenic. Apparently it is a very different deal than it once was. That's number one, that ought to be taken into consideration. Thinking about it when it was sort of became popular, you know, you don't want to see a person's life completely ruined because they smoked a marijuana cigarette, or as it was referred to once, at least a joint. I don't know what they call them today, but you don't want to see a person's life destroyed because of that. Because frankly, folks, my life would have been destroyed if that was the case. But on the other hand, you don't want to encourage people to use drugs at all. And that's from marijuana to anything else you can think of. The Bible says, do not be drunk with wine, which is excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. I believe that that can also be read. Do not be drunk with wine, with marijuana, with cocaine, with crack, with methamphetamines, with LSD, or anything else you can think of. Don't. But be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's the key to our nation's future, by the way. Well, listen, I got to go. Been great to be with you. I'll be back tomorrow night. In the meantime, stand up, step up, speak up, refuse to back up. We cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side.